This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Have you made some new goals this year to eat healthier and to make sure your children are getting a diet with lots of fruits and veggies and low in processed and fast foods? Parents are struggling against many forces that pull them and their children into unhealthy eating habits and a sedentary lifestyle. Children are spending less time playing and being active and more time in front of the TV, computer, or playing video games. Busy families aren't cooking meals as often and are frequently choosing fast food options or highly processed food, and they're not often sitting down together for a family dinner. And in some neighborhoods, there isn't easy access to fresh vegetables, fruits, meats, and fish. So I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. There are many ways to encourage healthy eating, and it begins with parents who can lead by example. There are also things communities and professionals can do and need to do to support the work of parents. Oh, and there's the role of schools and really an important campaign there to raise healthy eaters from home, from school. We're going to talk about all of that this morning. We look forward to hearing from you about the changes you've made and maybe suggestions you have for other parents, and also any questions you have about providing a healthy diet for your family at home and at school. Call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. You can also email us during the show and anytime at info@childhoodmatters.org. We have passes and we have tickets today to give away to some upcoming events. We have books, so we'd love to hear from you. Today's show is brought to you in part by Kaiser Permanente. Joining us in the studio is Richard Waxman. He's the founder of LIFT. It's a nonprofit organization promoting youth and family wellness in low-income communities. Richard has a degree in social psychology with a focus on children with low self-esteem. He spent 25 years as a senior executive in private industry. He's been a national director for a private provider of public education, and he assisted with the development of a unique school for children of special needs and one for children with special gifts. He's also consulted for a developer of low-cost housing to deliver free supplemental educational tutoring services to children living below the poverty line. Richard is also a youth coach and a fundraiser, as well as a member of the Positive Coaching Alliance. Richard Waxman, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Thanks, Rhonda. It's good to be here.
You know, you've done a lot of work. It's great to see how diverse your experience is. And here you are at LIFT, providing tools and support to help overweight and obese children and their families. I want to know a little bit about how you do that and what you see as some of the issues families are facing when it comes to providing healthy food for their kids.
Well, we work with children and families in different ways, and we address the specific needs of each community. So we focus on nutrition, gardening, farm-to-table education, fun physical activities like Zumba, and we provide life skills mentoring. One of the other key pieces is also, as you mentioned before, to teach the parents how to model healthy behaviors at home, how to create support structures. There's an uneven playing field out there. In the low-income communities that we work with, 10-to-1 fast food options to healthy options. There's very little parks or outdoor, safe outdoor fun activities for the children to be able to do, even when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the school lunches are, like you mentioned, they're a challenge, and they're starting to, there's awareness, but there's not a lot of solutions yet. So it comes to community organizations like ourselves to get in there and do the work.
That's right. And I think the schools are really trying to, you know, the Healthy, Hungry, Free Kids Act of 2010 that our president signed, they're really trying to reduce the sodium and reduce the calories and have more fruits and veggies. But there's certainly a lot of support families need. And it sounds like you're really trying to get in there with a multifaceted approach.
Yes, it does take different ways to reach different people. Not every family, not every community needs the same thing. So part of what we do is we created what we call the Program Without Walls. We look at each community. We go actually into the community. There's no transportation issues. We deliver our program in multiple languages. So there's no literacy issues, there's no language issues, it's a way that they feel comfortable. There's no cost to our program, it's free to low-income children and families.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, and you know, I think when we think about healthy eating, it's on so many levels. It's at home what we do, but it has to be connected with what's available in the community and also the educational piece.
Right, so education, you know, in a lot of different ways. One is we're also building children's self-esteem so they can make the right decisions. So we actually work with them. When they're on the school lunch line, what's the best choice to make? When they're actually at fast food, we know they're going to go to fast food restaurants. What we do is try and help them navigate to make the best choice there. So it's not, our program is not about saying this is better than that, this is good, that's bad, feel guilty about this. It's about being able to make proper choices.
Boy, I could use that sometimes. I was at a conference yesterday, and those big cookies that they have there, they were so tempting, I couldn't stop myself. So yeah, I think this is wonderful that you're really working with people, not trying to tell them what to do. And I'd love people to talk about any of their experiences with in terms of what's helped them make good choices. I'd like to introduce our other guest. We have Kristen Polakiewicz with us by phone. She's a clinical health educator at Kaiser Permanente Vallejo Napa Department of Medicine, where she helps people make lifestyle changes to improve the way they feel physically and mentally. You know, after receiving her degree from Boston University, Kristen served as a Peace Corps volunteer in Nicaragua, working as a community health educator. When she returned to the States, she took a job at a nonprofit agency called Healthy Moms and Babies in Napa, where she did health education and case management with pregnant women. She's also a certified trainer and a childbirth educator. Kristen Polakiewicz, good morning.
Good morning.
So glad you could join us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Kristen, you work with Kaiser and you're out in the community a lot. What do you see families need to make changes? And, you know, what are some of those barriers to healthy eating that you're seeing?
Well, I think the biggest barriers to healthy eating kind of fall, generally speaking, into two categories. One being either the parents grew up eating poorly, and so they are just kind of following what they know. Or two, the parents grew up maybe eating well, maybe a lot of home-cooked meals, and they feel like they're giving their children something that they couldn't have as kids, meaning fast food, eating out more often. So I think, like Richard's saying, helping educate parents and talking about the value that there is to a home-cooked meal versus kind of that seeing it as a treat or seeing it as the only option.
You know, actually, I think another piece is the fast-paced life we all live. I think there are parents who grew up with healthy meals and their parents cook for them. And part of the fast food attraction is because people are working, you know, everyone's working and they're on their, you know, computer or iPhone. And I think there's this convenient factor also, don't you think, Richard?
Well, there is. And that's part of what we work with is because most of us, children and adults, will grab the first thing that's there, the lowest common denominator, what's available, what we have access to. So we actually work with the children on being able to produce for themselves a healthy snack, a healthy meal that they can grab, or parents how they can do some things. If they have it available, it's not on their shoulders. The children can also be able to be creative in the kitchen.
Yeah, because Kristen, I would imagine you work with families who are under some stress when it comes to their just their life in general and making money, and I think that adds to some of the challenges. Do you think so?
Definitely. I definitely see that as a big issue, and the convenience factor, like Richard said, it's easy to grab the first thing.
Yeah, so part of your job is to try and help them understand the consequences of that, too? Is that right?
Well, and also making it more of a entire family change. So what I often see, because I'm getting a referral from a pediatrician, is the family gets very focused on that child, and it becomes about a diagnosis or a BMI.
That's the metabolic rate. That's a way to tell whether someone's in a risk category when you use the term BMI, right? It's height and weight together.
Exactly. Yeah. So when a child is starting to kind of creep up on that chart, a doctor might say, hey, it's time to make some changes. And sometimes parents overcorrect and they turn it just on that child and it becomes kind of this, you've got to lose weight, you've got to lose weight. And I think what I try to do as a health educator is focus it back to what can this whole family do together so that it doesn't feel punitive, it feels more collaborative, and
yes,
that's really the only way we get success.
And I think that's what you and Richard have in common. You're really looking at the whole family and seeing how people can work together rather than any form of punishment around weight loss or healthy eating.
Right. We find by also having the parents and children engage together in planning a meal, shopping for the meal, preparing the meal, and then actually sitting down and have the meal together, there's a tremendous amount of data and research that shows that that has a positive effect on the entire family.
Yeah, really good point. Well, we're going to take calls. We want to hear from you, 877-372-KIDS. What tips do you have for other parents? What are your eating challenges? Let's be real here. You know, you're juggling a lot. You may have a bunch of kids. How do you do it? And what questions do you have? We'll start off with one of our live lines this morning. We have Pramila with us from Milpitas. Good morning, Pramila.
Good morning, Rona.
Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks. Just an ever-ending question. I was just listening to all the comments about it.
Yes.
We do cook a lot, but sometimes it's tempting when you are, you know, working a lot, and it's just hard to cook sometimes.
Yes, and, it is. You have to plan for it, don't you, Pramila?
Yeah, generally we have healthy food around the house, so that's kind of good. Especially like recently we went to Legoland and...
You went to Legoland?
Legoland. And there also I packed our sandwiches, but it was kind of tempting to see if we hadn't and we were too tired, because most of the choices were like, you know, cheese sandwiches, which we try to avoid giving our son at home too much. Because he's had asthma, so probably that's has been a factor in our kind of refining our diet to include certain things and not include certain things.
Yes, because you're trying to reduce the milk products, you're saying, because some people think that might affect his allergies or his asthma. Is that what you're saying?
Right, right. Uh-huh. And we've tried to have more goat cheese, it's when you're pressed for time, it does get hard. And especially for his lunch, most of the time, I find that I'm getting very, very repetitive.
Yes.
I give him lunch from home, and in the morning, it's hard to kind of put together everything.
Right, right. And to get creative, I think that's good. Kristen, do you help parents come up with sort of some healthy menus for lunch?
Yeah, we try to think of new ideas and finding resources for them to get new ideas, because I completely hear that. You know, we get kind of stuck on, you know, skinless chicken, broccoli, and couscous for dinner, knowing that that's healthy, but it's also quite boring after a while. And the other thing that I want to say is, you know, if you're cooking most of the time and you find that you're using fast food as a, well, you know, we're overwhelmed at this moment and we need to go there. You know, I think kind of what Richard said earlier, don't feel guilty about it. Find out what your best choices are. And, you know, once in a while, it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Any other ideas here, Richard?
Yeah, when your children are saying, you know, can we go to fast food? Do we want to do that either because it's a treat or because it's the only option when you're stressed? Have the broiled chicken sandwich instead of the fries, instead of this. You know, there are different things. Have the salad, but please try and stay away from the dressing, which in most fast food restaurants, the dressing is the culprit. So there are ways to navigate and not try and exclude, because then it becomes forbidden fruit. We can never have fast food. You're going to create more, you know, focus on that.
You know, Pramila, I know you from being a listener for so long, and I know that you're also probably a very good Indian cook. And I think it's interesting too to cook things up and send those for lunch with your kids. And sometimes other kids get jealous and envious, and they want those kind of interesting meals that aren't the typical peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
And you may want to include your son in the options.
Yeah, of cooking with you. Pramila, does your son cook with you?
Oh, yes, he does. And now one thing he started making by himself, you know, from scratch, right from pulling it from the refrigerator. That's like bread and butter sandwich.
He likes bread and butter sandwiches.
So basically, he will do everything, basically. Bring it out, toast it, put butter on it, enjoy it himself. So, which I am not included at all in the circle.
Because he's now 7 years old, and you want to make sure and have whole wheat bread when you're going to do that, and maybe a little almond butter to show him that too.
And encourage the process that he's actually involved in doing it on his own. That confidence in the kitchen will grow to then healthier options.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm going to send you a copy of a book that I got here sent to me. It's called Top 100 Finger Foods. It's 100 recipes for a healthy, happy child by Annabelle Carmel, and she's a nutritionist from the UK. And I think this will be a nice book for the two of you to look at the recipes and and see what you want to cook together. And I think it will increase your lunch choices. So thank you, Pramila, for calling this morning.
Thank you. One more thing, can I ask?
Yes.
We normally kind of try to boil the vegetables. Like, if the vegetables are different other than the ones used in Indian cooking, but he doesn't like the boiled vegetables. So any other choices for that?
Oh, well, you know, vegetables are really good to, you can saute with just a little bit of spray in the pan or a little bit of olive oil. I do a lot of vegetables that I cook like that, or steam them so they're not so mushy. Anything else, Kristen?
No, I think those are good suggestions. You can even microwave them in the bag sometimes. They come out like steamed vegetables, really quick and easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think for you also, Pramila, to, you know, do a little sauté and throw in some spices. I think kids really like having the different flavors and the different spices. We shouldn't hesitate to introduce them to those things. So, yeah, change it up, shake it up, and I think you'll be happy with that.
Thank you.
Okay, Pramila, take good care now. We're talking about healthy eating, and we'd love to take your call this morning, 1-877-372-KIDS. We have Carol from San Mateo with us. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, great topic this morning.
What would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, what I wanted to add was I work full-time. I'm a single parent, and I have a four-year-old boy. And it's been, for me, the time crunch is the biggest challenge. And so the biggest thing that I've tried to do for myself is just to keep it really simple for myself. And so, and the other challenge is my budget. So one thing that's really helped me is I feel like eating at home is a lot less expensive than
yes.
eating out.
Yes.
So, but what I do is I try to have everything ready, you know, available for me. So when I get home from work, so the biggest thing is I get the, you know, just bags of frozen vegetables, and I always have, you know, a few different ones in the freezer so that when I get home, I just grab those, throw them in a pot, you know,
yes.
steam them up. So I know I have at least a vegetable. Then the other thing is, fortunately, my son is a big fruit eater.
Good.
So I always have, you know, I'll get like the bags of the small apples or the bags of the little tangerines.
Yes, I love those as snacks.
And then I just I put them on the coffee table, and I know if I notice, like, if they're out there, I see like peels of tangerines around the house and stuff, because he'll eat them because they're there. So if they're just, you know, if they're sitting out, you know, that's the first thing he'll grab rather than something else.
Richard, that's a key piece here, isn't it?
Right, Carol, you're doing so many things that are going to make it easy for your son. He's 4 years old, but yet he can go and reach on his own. And
right.
I was going to ask, is it on a place where he can actually reach it? You said the coffee table. One other quick thing I would add is buy in bulk, right, when you do purchase ahead of time so you can get healthier options but get them for lower cost, and then cook ahead of time.
Yeah, there are definite things you could do on a Sunday with your child and cook and have things ready. But the key thing you said is that if you had those crackers out there, that's what he would be eating. Right. You can take a muffin tin. I've told parents to do that and put healthy choices inside the muffin tin, raisins and cut up carrots and maybe tofu if your kid likes that. And keep that in the refrigerator even. And when they're hungry, they pull that out and they have their snack.
Because you're still giving them the choice.
Carol, I have a cookbook for you. It's Kids Get Cooking, Fast and Fun Recipes. We're going to send this to you so it'll give you some new ideas. Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
listening to Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Need job training? Then go to the Job Training and Placement Program at Opportunity Junction in Antioch. Attend the last application session Tuesday, January 18th at 10 a.m. For more information, call 925-776-1133. That's 925-776-1133. Special needs parents, get financial help at the Special Needs Trust and Financial Planning Workshop in Monterey. Attorneys will present parents with much-needed information on Wednesday, January 19th, 6 to 8 p.m. For more information, call 831-372-2730. That's 831-372-2730. Enjoy the Sky's the Limit art exhibit at the Marin Society of Artists Gallery in Ross, running all the way through January 29th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more information, call 415-454-9561. That's 415-454-9561. Don't know what to expect after high school? Check out Life After Post-Secondary at the Simpkins Family Swim Center in Santa Cruz on Wednesday, January 19th, 6 to 8 p.m. For more information, call 831-423-7713. That's 831-423-7713. Make some masterpieces with your little one through toddler art at the Newark branch of the Alameda County Library, Friday, January 21st, 12 to 12:30 p.m. For more information, call 510-795-2627. That's 510-795-2627. Practice Tai Chi with your family at the San Carlos branch of the San Mateo County Library on Dr. King's birthday this Monday, January 7th at 10 a.m. For more information, call 650-591-0341. That's 650-591-0341. For additional information on events, call 510-663-5437. And to submit information, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Lorenzo Plazola.
Cavities affect more children than any other chronic disease. Baby teeth are especially important to children's development. These teeth help chew food, enable children to speak clearly, and hold space so permanent teeth can grow straight. Starting good dental habits when children are young protects their smiles and helps keep them healthy for a lifetime. Here's what you can do at home. Before your baby has teeth, wipe the gums gently with a clean, wet cloth after each feeding. Don't put your baby to bed or a nap with a bottle or sippy cup. When your baby's first tooth appears, start brushing the teeth with fluoride toothpaste in the morning and before bedtime. To avoid spreading the germs that can cause cavities, don't put anything in a child's mouth that's been in your mouth. Don't share spoons, cups, or toothbrushes. It is recommended that children have their first dentist appointment around 1 year of age, even if your child doesn't have many teeth. For more oral health tips, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking about healthy eating and access to nutritious food. Joining us in the studio is Richard Waxman. He's the founder of LIFT. It's a nonprofit organization promoting youth and family wellness in low-income communities. And we have Kristen Polakiewicz with us. She's a clinical health educator at the Kaiser Permanente Vallejo Napa Department of Medicine. Just a couple of announcements first. Our last two callers, Pramila and Carol, will check in with you to see if you would like to go to a wonderful presentation by Barbara Coloroso. She's a best-selling author, speaker. She wrote the book, The Bully, The Bullied, and The Bystander. She's going to be talking about just because it's not wrong doesn't make it right. She's at Parents Place throughout the Bay Area. So on February 7th, she'll be in the Menlo Atherton Performing Arts Center in Atherton. I could give each of you a ticket for that event. It's a $20 advance, $25 at the door ticket. I also have tickets for the one in San Francisco at Parents from Parents Place. and there's one in Mill Valley, and there's one in Santa Rosa. So folks, if you want to call in and tell us something about the healthy eating that's going on in your house, let our producer know also if you'd like one of these tickets. I also have tickets for an amazing film called Original Minds. It's a fundraiser for Orinda Academy. My friend Tom Weidlinger is a filmmaker. He followed four students who have original minds, and I'll be doing a panel. I'm giving away tickets for that also. Just let our producers know. Let's take another call. We have Carol with us from Pinole this morning. Hi, Carol.
Morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Great. I have a little home preschool, and some of the parents, they're very fabulous with their children. They're very caring, but they sometimes get caught in this all-white food diet where it's white pasta and breads, and they'll say their children won't eat anything else.
That's right. I hear that, too.
And I feel for them, but I know the kids are not getting in the car and driving to the store themselves, so I was hoping to get some pointers on, you know, how to gently help the parents out of that cycle.
That's great. And do you feed the children your own food at your child care center?
We do. We feed organic whole grain. You know, we even bake cakes from scratch. We grind the grain in a little non-electric grinder so we don't end up chewing up fingers, but we do it all from scratch. It takes 2 hours to make a cake. But
wow. And so you're really modeling that for the children in your care. Kristen, let me go to you on that. This is a good question about, you know, here's someone, Carol, who's really dedicated to healthy eating, and yet there are parents who haven't yet made that switch, in a sense. And also, I think the issue she's raising is the issue around setting limits and realizing that the parent really is in charge of a lot of that. Any advice here, Kristen?
Well, I think that sometimes, what I would say is always offer it. You know, let the child reject it. But often what happens is, you know, once or twice a child says, I don't like that, and parents stop offering. And then we get a child subsisting on bread and pasta only. So I would say at every meal, two or three different colors. You know, that's a really easy way to think of it, and it appeals to children. But you should have a rainbow on your plate and always offer it. And if the child chooses not to eat it, don't make a big deal, but offer it at every meal and every snack, because eventually they will come around. And when they see you modeling it, when they see you eating it, they will come around. But it's a process, and it takes time.
So let me ask. Thank you, Kristen. Richard, so it's that whole way of how do you talk to people about this without turning them off? As a teacher, you know, Carol has to kind of gently present alternatives to the parents.
Well, one model that we use is called the stoplight model, which is pretty intuitive and easy to use depending on your age, literacy level, culture. It seems to work for everybody, where we identify foods, red light, yellow light, green light. A red light food, in this case, I know we're talking about grains, but maybe is a soda. It's red light. Have one. Don't supersize it. Don't have three or four. Don't have a 32-ounce bottle. And also don't feel guilty about it, but have the one and move on.
And don't have it often.
The yellow light might be fruit juice, but cut it with water so you reduce the sugar content. But the green light would be milk, water, tea, and have as much of that as possible. So that way, again, you're educating what the choices are. You're giving options, and you're educating and letting them make the choice.
So what I think, Carol, is that you have materials around. Maybe you have a handout, you know, from various campaigns that you leave around for the parents to take. And perhaps you even do a little fun demonstration with parents sometime, Carol, about what you're doing in the classroom and why you're taking 2 hours to cook this cake made from whole wheat. And so I think gently, you know, talking with the parents about what you're doing. And when a parent says, my kid will only eat white and cheese, there are kids who seem to be really, I almost think that they're often kids who are very high energy, I notice, who get sort of this carb craving. And I think, you know, you can talk to parents about that's what they're craving, but we can gently introduce these other things to them. And over time, change will happen. Does that make sense, Carol?
That's fabulous. And I love the red light, yellow light. I'd love to do that at a parent meeting. And,
exactly.
And then let the children help figure out what's a red light item, what's a yellow light, and you know, get them involved. I also just wanted to mention, with Michelle Obama's announcement about taking over or redoing the cafeteria foods into whole grains, and your guest today must be really happy about seeing some changes in the school diets.
Yes. Kristen, I'm sure you're excited about the idea that there's going to be lower fat, lower salt, and whole grains changing in the schools over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And the big issue is when that will happen and how it will happen and with if there'll be money for it to happen and all that. But thank you, Carol. It's always great to hear from you.
Thank you, Rona.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
So we're now going to take a listen to some other voices that our assistant producer Lorenzo Plazzola went out and talked to for the person on the street.
I'm associate producer Lorenzo Plazzola, and I'm talking to parents about healthy eating. What healthy eating habits have you developed in your family?
Well, we try to eat as much as vegetables as we can and fruits, and every single time we have dinner, instead of having like ice cream or anything like that for dessert, we have like a fruit salad.
Usually, we try to include in every single meal vegetables, and we try to encourage the kids to eat some fruits during the day.
I've made sure that he drinks more water, that he eats more vegetables. In the beginning, it was a problem because my mom introduced him to juice, so he just wanted to drink juice all the time, and he would rather drink juice than eat. So what we started doing, put a little bit of juice and then start putting a bunch of water in the juice.
How do you encourage your children to eat healthy?
If we watch in TV, instead of eating like popcorns or stuff like that, then we try to eat some fruits together.
I just act like it's really good, and then I'll eat vegetables in front of him so he wants them. But I exaggerate in front of him. I'll be like, it's so good.
Whatever he sees I do, he does. So I basically try to eat as healthy as I can in front of him.
How accessible is getting good nutrition foods for your children?
The amount of money we spend on healthy food, if we spent it on food that wasn't as healthy, we'd probably have like more food. Like, you know, we'd probably be able to buy a lot more. But in the end, I mean, it's unhealthy. So we'd rather just, you know, buy healthy food, even if it's not like if we spend a little bit more.
I actually got lucky because my ex-boyfriend's brother works for Trader Joe's, so we get a lot of fruit and vegetables because he gets discount there.
Do you think that culture influences what people consider healthy and unhealthy?
Definitely, because every single culture has their own food, and probably I see ingredients in some other foods that I don't like, or I consider like not healthy, like maybe too greasy or whatever, and in my culture it might be okay. So yeah, it does.
Do you have any recommendations for parents who are having trouble with good nutrition?
Well, just try to do your best, trying to cook your own food, and then try to include vegetables, and that's it.
Thank you. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lorenzo Plazzola.
Thank you, Lorenzo, and thank you so much to the parents. I just want to say something about popcorn, because it could be a really healthy choice, especially if you're not putting butter and salt on it and popping it, you know, whether in the microwave or on the stove. So don't forget, popcorn is a good healthy choice. Richard, any comments from these parents?
Yeah, the part about traditional culturals, and you know, how can you prepare traditional recipes and still honor a culture but use healthy ingredients and healthy preparation methods? You can, and that's what we try and do. An example would be baked tortillas instead of fried tortillas. Oven fried chicken, which is actually baked, which tastes just as well and is 10 times more healthy for you. So you can make those options and still, you know, honor the culture that you're in.
And I think you probably do a lot of that work. I know you work in the Latino community, and you're in Marin. You work with people in Marin City. You probably do a lot of work around how to take what you love and make it a little bit healthier.
That's a key part of our program. We go in, we understand what the specific recipes are that they are having at home. We do some pantry evaluations for them and say, great, we know that these are the foods that you love. Here's a suggestion. Here's something that you can do. A little change here and a little change there adds up in a big way.
Kristen, I would imagine, too, you do the same thing. Was there anything from this these voices of parents that stood out for you?
I really like the piece about the, you know, keeping your own culture as part of it. The other thing I wanted to say is, you know, this idea of we may buy a little less food, but we're buying more quality food, thinking about that there's a satiety issue there. And when you eat better and when you choose whole grains and when you add vegetables, quality proteins, you feel fuller on a little bit less.
So it is worthwhile to spend a little more. You will feel more satisfied on less food. Overly processed food, we can eat large quantities of it because it's just jacked up with sugar and fat and salt.
And you know, Kristen, if you take a potato and you see how much a potato costs compared to a bag of potato chips, you'll see that you could also, I mean, this whole idea that it's more expensive sometimes is a fallacy also. You can take that potato and slice it up and put it and bake it in the oven and it'll taste fabulous, but it's actually cheaper than those bags of potato chips also, don't you think?
Absolutely. And you leave the skin on, you've got some fiber, you're going to feel a lot more satisfied, and you're getting better nutrition.
Good.
We also introduced the concept that the kitchen is really your pharmacy. If you make healthy decisions earlier on, you'll pay less in medical bills later on. So it actually, that little bit extra can really make a difference down the road for you.
And, you know, we have to say that obesity is a public health crisis in the sense that, you know, there are children now who are going to be sicker, you know, with high blood pressure and high cholesterol and other issues and also just mental health issues, too, if they continue on that road that they're on. So it is something we have to do something about urgently.
According to the Surgeon General, today's teens are the first generation in recorded history that will not outlive their parents and live a more unhealthy life.
So this is vital. It's very important we're talking about this. I want to mention, before I take another call, Carol from Pinole, I think also if you would like a ticket to go hear Barbara Coloroso, I was just realizing you're a teacher, and I can send you a ticket for her in San Francisco. She'll be at Congregational Beth Shalom, because she's talking about raising ethical children, and I think this is a way that you can continue to learn how to support the kids you're with and support the parents who are in your program. Let's take a call from Robbie in Oakland this morning. Hi there, Robbie.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
There's the voice I like. So what would you like to add to this conversation, Robbie?
Well, since we only have so much time, like every show, I would just like to share with everybody that one of the things that I try to stick to as far as my shopping, I really try not to be have tunnel vision or, you know, just have a one-track mind going to the grocery store looking for specifics, you know, my particulars or what have you. But I always keep an open eye every time I go to the grocery store to look for new tasty food items that I might like, that the kids might like. And I'm just always, you know, trying to look for a healthier or the healthiest possible alternative I can find. And the things that my kids like, I try to look for the healthiest thing, you know, that whatever it is, whether they like chicken nuggets, I try to find maybe organic chicken nuggets that are not processed.
Right.
Or, you know, no byproducts, so on and so forth.
That's right. So you know how to read labels too, Robbie. And I think that's a key thing that, you know, I'm sure Kristen does a lot of teaching on, is you have to look and see how, compare the sodium on some of these products.
Right.
And exactly. Look for the one that has that lower sodium, the lower fat, maybe a little more protein always helps too. So what you're saying is you're making some smart choices.
Trying to. And I have a question for you, Nasrona, as well as your guest. What is the thing with high fructose corn syrup? I'm hearing, I'm finding a lot of things that don't have it anymore that me and my kids and I like Ocean Spray cranberry juice, the Bullseye barbecue sauce, and a couple other food items. But then now they have these commercials out, I guess the people that are saying, well, high fructose corn syrup is no different than, you know, regular sugar. Your body can't tell the difference and so on and so forth.
Let me ask Kristen if she can respond to this, because we're about to go to a break. And so I don't forget, I want to give you a book called Kids Get Cooking, Fast and Fun Recipes. I know that you would really enjoy this with your kids. Kristen, quickly, can you say something about Robbie's question about high fructose corn syrup?
Well, the quickest answer I would say is the research out there hasn't shown definitively, but there's a lot of suspicion that we don't digest high fructose corn syrup in the same way that we do natural sugar. And the problem is it's so cheap and easy that it's been added to so many foods in large quantities. And I think the concern is we're oversweetening, and then our taste buds get used to that. And then
you know, natural foods and fresh fruit, which is very high in sugar, suddenly doesn't taste sweet. And so,
yeah.
It's in a lot of ways.
Well, that's a good quick answer here. And thank you, Robbie, for paying such attention and thinking about these things. I really appreciate the father that you are. In a moment, we'll take your call.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Children's brains develop based on early experiences. The more positive interactions children have, the healthier their development. Talking and communicating with children not only shows love, but also encourages the development of speech patterns and social skills. Here are some tips when talking with young children. Talk to babies early and often. This promotes bonding and lays the foundation for language development. Sing to and with your children. Use a broad vocabulary to expose children to many different words. Engage children in conversation by asking open-ended questions. And read aloud or share stories with your children and ask them questions about what they learned. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
The number of overweight children in America has tripled since 1980, mainly due to unhealthy eating and a lack of physical activity. When a child is overweight, they can be at risk of developing health problems like type 2 diabetes and emotional problems from being teased. Adults play an important role by eating healthy and making physical activity a part of family life. Limit junk food, provide healthy snacks, go for walks, bike rides, take the stairs, and have fun. This Childhood Matters health tip is made possible by a grant from Kaiser Permanente, Northern California.
Do you know that every year, more than 40,000 babies are born with fetal alcohol syndrome? Fetal alcohol syndrome is the leading known cause of mental retardation and developmental disabilities and is entirely preventable. It's a birth defect caused by mothers drinking during their pregnancy. A baby with fetal alcohol syndrome may have growth deficiency, minor facial abnormalities such as small eyes or a thin upper lip, and central nervous system damage. How is fetal alcohol syndrome preventable? Pregnant women must avoid any amount of alcohol. So remember, don't drink your baby's future away. No amount of alcohol is safe while pregnant. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
Continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
We're talking about healthy eating this morning, the issues around it, your questions, your ideas, your suggestions. And we have with us Richard Waxman in studio. He's the founder of LIFT, a nonprofit organization promoting youth and family wellness in low-income communities around the Bay Area and also in Southern California. Is that
we're
right?
Expanding to East LA right now.
Okay, good. And also with us by phone is Kristen Polakiewicz. She's a clinical health educator at the Kaiser Permanente Vallejo Napa Department of Medicine. And having worked at Kaiser for 14 years, I have to say that prevention is important to Kaiser, and they're very dedicated to trying to put in place prevention programs. So, Kristen, welcome back to our show.
Thank you.
And Robbie in Oakland, if you're still listening, you know, you live in Oakland, and this film by Tom Weidlinger, Original Minds, it's a premiere screening of it. It's going to be on February 4th from 7 to 9 at the Mormon Temple. If you'd like a ticket for that, let me know. I think you'd like it because the youth in this film are from Bay Hill School in Oakland and Berkeley High School, and it's a beautiful film about the differences we have in the way our neurobiology is. So, Robbie, let Felsha know if you'd like that. Let's take another call. We have Mireya from Greenfield. Mireya.
Mireya, yes.
Yes, Mireya. Hi, good morning. And you work with an organization. Tell us about what you're doing.
Yes, right now, currently, I'm working for an organization called Fiesta Vitis, and we're a nonprofit organization. What we do is we're trying to promote, services for people that have diabetes, hypertension, or obesity. We're trying to educate people and teach them how to cook. We also have some classes for children or young teens. We give them classes on how to cook healthy snacks, and then we exercise with them doing Zumba or, different activities like that.
Well, that's great. Richard, Zumba's the thing these days, huh?
It is. Everybody loves it. All ages can do it, and it's vigorous, and it's also non-competitive. You don't have to do it right. You just have to get up and do it.
So, Mireya, how do you get parents to come and join you? How do you reach out?
We have different flyers out in the community, and we actually go out in the community and pass out flyers. We have we put our information on the newspaper, the local newspaper, and just word of mouth, also, Anna Greenberg, which is the wife of Dr. Greenberg in King City.
Yeah.
Some of the doctors are also recommending our program because we do see really high rates of diabetes, hypertension, and obesity, so we're getting help, with the doctors.
And it's all about catching it early and really working with families and having them understand how important it is. I think when the doctors and health providers and health educators are working together in a friendly way, in a way that's culturally sensitive, it really can make a big difference. It sounds like you're doing great work in Greenfield, and I really love that we can talk to you from the Monterey area. Let me send you a copy of Kaiser Permanente's Via Bien. It's in English and Spanish. It's 5 Steps to Better Health. And there's a DVD for you, and maybe you can make use of it in your classes. Thank you for calling. Such a pleasure. Bye-bye. Have a
Bye.
Good day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Okay. We're going to take a listen, because this is important to find out what communities are doing. We also have an interview with the Hope Collaborative.
I'm producer Felsha Zuschlag speaking with Sabrina from the Hope Collaborative about the work they're doing in Bay Area communities. What is the Hope Collaborative, and what type of work are you doing in the Bay Area?
Hope is a collaborative of many community-based organizations, community residents, mostly low-income residents living in the flatlands of Oakland, and some city and county agencies that are working together to reduce health disparities in the most vulnerable populations in Oakland by transforming the food and fitness environments.
And can you tell me about some of the health disparities you're seeing in the communities that you're serving?
Some of the things that we see health-wise are higher rates of diet-related disease, such as diabetes and other chronic illness that can lead to, as well as a high prevalence of obesity and especially increasingly childhood obesity.
And what type of work is the Hope Collaborative doing to help provide nutritious food to Oakland youth?
Well, we actually just started a partnership with the Unified School District, and so we're working with the Director of Nutrition Services. So some of the projects that we are working on with the school district are trying to do outreach for their fresh produce markets. So these are school-based farmers markets that they have that are not just serving the students and the teachers and the families, but really all of the residents in the neighborhood surrounding the schools. And so we really want to get the word out about these markets and let people know that this is a great source of fresh produce in their neighborhoods where they may not have a grocery store that's providing them high quality and affordable produce. And the school district also recently just implemented universal school breakfast, which means that all students in the public schools in Oakland now have access to free breakfast regardless of income.
And so for more information on the Hope Collaborative, how can people reach out to you?
We are just relaunching our website right now, but they can email me at swu.hope@gmail.com.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Thank you to Hope, and thank you, Felsha. I think a key thing here is free breakfast for all children. Breakfast is so key to children being able to do well at school, and we don't mean a sweet roll for breakfast either. Kristen Polakovich, a final word from you, some tips for parents as we're finishing up our show this morning.
I like that what we're saying is there's a lot of resources available, so you know, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you need new ideas, you know, your child's teacher is a great resource. There's community resources. Your health care provider's got resources. So some of it is about asking for help. I think as parents, sometimes we put it on ourselves. We feel guilty. We take too much on. And I think the message of this show has really been there's a lot of resources out there, and people have great ideas.
Yeah.
A quick and easy tip is turn off the TV when you eat. I mean, I think that's an easy way to feel fuller. You're more conscious of what you're eating. And, you know, like Richard said, when people prepare food together, when they eat food together, something happens. There's a lot of bonding that happens. And we've lost a lot of that because of the busyness. And I think that's my number one thing is sit down to eat at least one meal a day.
You know, I think I'm so glad you said that, because what happens is there's something else that can happen around food. So if we see it as not a rush thing, if we're mindful around it, it's really about sharing time with people also, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And thank you for all the work you're doing with Kaiser, Kristen. I know how important it is. And again, there's a focus on prevention and a focus on changing things. It's never too late. So I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Richard, a final word. Richard Waxman from Lyft. Tell us some tips or some ideas as we wind up.
Well, I think Kristen was right on target as well about doing things together, but modeling healthy behaviors at home. Children learn first from their parents and the adults that they're around. Acknowledge positive choices by your children. Catch them doing something right.
Aha, good.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
And also continue to introduce new foods, one vegetable, one fruit each week. And you know what? Keep doing it for 6, 7, 8 weeks. It takes a while. But then after a while, they get used to it, and they start to understand that it is important. And including them in the process, I think, is one of the things that we've learned. Just like adults, children are at their best when they're in service to others. And when they are serving the family, not just literally serving the plates and the food, but being of service to their family by providing and modeling for their younger siblings, there's a number of different things that can be done.
And I've been amazed, again, when my husband does a garden and we grow like green beans, and my grandson, perhaps my older grandson, who doesn't normally eat that, he'll go to the garden and pick the green beans, and suddenly he likes them.
Right. Well, it's great, because when we first start working with a lot of our children, the first thing that we'll ask them is, where does food come from? The first thing they say is the Safeway truck.
Right.
And then after we get them involved in the garden, they start to understand the connection between where food grows, what it actually does to them, can they focus more? And then you have children who are now asking for salads. And
that's
we feel
right.
Like our work is not done, but we've done good work. So,
my son, same grandson, David, he likes seaweed, and he likes all these things because his mom introduces him to those things. So it's great. How can people find out about Lyft?
Well, they can go to our website, lyft-levantate.org or lyftforteens.org.
Lyftforteens.org. And now it's not just for teens, but that is what your website says.
Right. That's where we started, and we've grown to work with children of all ages and families. So lyftforteens, F-O-R-teens.org.
Well, Richard Waxman, you have a background in business. You've done a lot of work for children and families, and it sounds like you're really honing in on this and trying to do it very holistically. I appreciate you coming this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So, wrapping this up, I think the key things that people have said here are: think about your food, be mindful, don't be hard on yourself if you grab those crackers, but put good things out on the table, have those snacks that are healthy, think about what you need to be happy. And Richard also mentioned to me on the break, you know, about sugar. We are very drawn to sugar because there's so much sugar in our diet. Same thing with salt. So we've got to reduce reduce the sugar, you know, take away the sodas, take away the juices, and have a great breakfast this morning. Thank you to our guests and our listeners. I'm so grateful to our team, producers Felsha Zuschlag and Lorenzo Palazzola at the controls. And my gratitude to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. You teach me a lot. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week. And remember, spend time with your children and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are the family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.